You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And a very happy Thursday to you all. Welcome back to the Locked On Kings podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your daily hub for Sacramento Kings content, conversation, interviews, highlights. We have it all right here for you in bite-sized formats every single weekday. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here on the Locked On Kings podcast. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That's the flagship radio station of the Kings in Sacramento. Tonight, the Kings look to bounce back after blowing two fourth-quarter leads against the Lakers and against the Portland Trailblazers. They are home tonight against the number one team in the Western Conference, the Denver Nuggets. Now, this is the Locked On Kings podcast, and of course, the Kings are the focal point here, but I'm going to talk a lot about Denver Nuggets basketball here today because I think the Denver Nuggets are a shining example of what rebuilds can be done the right way in the NBA. Everybody talks about the Warriors, and rightfully so, as the pinnacle, the model that you want to follow. But in my opinion, for this Kings team, for what they're trying to do, there's no better model that they could follow than what the Denver Nuggets and head coach Mike Malone have done over the past few seasons. They are the best team in the Western Conference for a reason right now, albeit they're holding on to that title by just a hair as the Golden State Warriors are biting on their heels. But the Kings are taking on a Denver Nuggets team tonight that is 24-11 on the season. They are 15-6 against Western Conference opponents, 15-3 at home. Luckily, they're not nearly as good on the road, but they're still over 500 away from the Mile High City. They are 9-8 on the road. They are 7-3 over their last 10, have won three straight. So a tough task for the Sacramento Kings tonight inside the Golden 1 Center. But the good news is, ladies and gentlemen, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And what I mean by that is that the Kings have been in a 13-game stretch where the majority of these games have been against Western Conference opponents that were all higher than them in the standings. The Kings have done well, with the exception of these last two games, to wade through that and stay relatively around 500. Now, the Kings are 19-18 as of right now. They could be at 500 with a loss tonight. You would like to see them stay above 500, but this is one of their final few games here, with the Warriors coming into town again on Saturday. One of their final few games that the Kings are facing very, very difficult competition before the schedule starts to open up and lighten up a little bit. So there's light at the end of the tunnel. We will talk about that more later on in the podcast. I wanted to open up the show, though, with a call from Taylor. Now, if you didn't listen to yesterday's podcast, and if you don't follow me on social media, you absolutely should, at Matt George KHDK. If you follow me on Twitter, let me know you listen to the Locked On Kings podcast. I'll be sure to follow you back. It's a great way to get in touch with me, and we can have great Kings or sports-related conversations there at any time. If you're not on social media, you can also email me at any time as well. It's a great way to reach out to me, mgeorge@saclocalmedia.com. But with the start of 2019, we launched what was called the Locked On Kings voicemail box. Essentially, it's a number that you can call into. It goes right to voicemail, and you can leave your thoughts, your takes at any time. It doesn't have to be after a game. It can be after a podcast. It can be whenever you want. If anything sparks your interest, whether it's a conversation that we had here on the podcast, or if you're just thinking Kings, you have a question you want to ask, anything like that, or if you want to share your thoughts, I listen to them all. I select as many as I can that fit in with each podcast episode, and we're going to open up with a call from Taylor. Now, Taylor called yesterday, and he was responding and giving his feedback to the Kings' tough loss at the hands of the Portland Trailblazers. If you missed yesterday's episode, I went into detail about my thoughts on why the Kings fell apart in that game, how they can bounce back from that, and we talked about that game in full here. I am going to touch on it a little bit, and you're going to hear some of Taylor's thoughts on the game itself, but he also talks about Harry Giles and a couple other things that I think are important. So listen to Taylor's call, the voicemail that he left me here on the Locked On Kings voicemail box, and if you want to leave a message like Taylor at any time, you can call 909-566-0232. Again, that's 909-566-0232. Here is Taylor on the Locked On Kings podcast.
This is Taylor from Sacramento. I want to say congratulations on your recent marriage. I was at the game last night. I saw that you put Nurkic. Your key to the game was to keep Nurkic under control. 25, 22, 7, 5, and 5. we couldn't handle him. Willie looked lost out there last night. Turning point was definitely when Jaeger put Giles into the game, brought incredible energy, which was fantastic to see. He also was out there for roughly 10 minutes and didn't commit a foul, which was great. I would have loved to see Jaeger keep him in down the stretch. As soon as he took him out, Portland took control of the game once again. Being a fan there last night, even up 9 with 3 minutes left, you're sitting there nervous. We can never push to double digits. Bezlica missed a bunny layup, which could have put us up 11 and probably would have locked in the game. But either way, we are seeing glimpses of how great the Kings can be in the future, as well as seeing glimpses of how young they are right now. More good than bad, but I mean, that was a tough pill to swallow, up 9 with 3 minutes left, a day after handling the Lakers, or a few days after handling the Lakers for most of the game. But went from the cardiac Kings to the collapsed Kings. Can't say they're not exciting, though. Anyways, I'd like to see them get better down the stretch, and I'd like to see Jaeger go with the hot hand a bit more. Went back to the starters, and De'Aaron and Willie didn't have it. Yogi and Harry were getting it done. So that's my 2 cents. Anyways, keep up the good work covering the Kings. Have a good day.
Taylor, my man, thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, for leaving a message, and thank you for your kind words at the beginning about my recent marriage. I appreciate it. But two things that Taylor touched on in this game. Now, a lot of the response that I got both on social media and in the voice mailbox after the Kings lost to Portland all, or for the most part, had to do with the guard or the bigs and Willie Cauley-Stein in particular. Now, I talked a lot about Willie Cauley-Stein in yesterday's podcast. I'll talk on it briefly again in this podcast because the bigs, to me, are essential tonight in this game against the Denver Nuggets. But before I dive into that, I want to talk about specifically Harry Giles, because he brought up Harry Giles, the stint that Harry Giles played against Portland. And Harry Giles, in my opinion, when he checked into the game into the third quarter and played about a 13-minute stretch, I believe, is the amount that he played. That's when the game turned around. That's when the Kings went on their run, came back from down 14, and took a comfortable lead. Harry Giles and the bench unit, led by Bogdan Bogdanovic, really gave the Kings the lead, and unfortunately the starters blew it towards the end. Damian Lillard went full all-star mode, and we know what happened. But it was because of Harry Giles, in my opinion, that things got going. Harry provided instant effort, offense, athleticism, and passion on both ends of the floor, and it sent a jolt of life and energy into this Kings squad, which is exactly what you want from a young, hustle, athletic-type player coming off the bench. Now, I was asked on Twitter yesterday, and again, you can follow me at MattGeorgeKHGK on Twitter or reach out to me there at any time. Someone asked me, they know that I am a supporter of Willie Cauley-Stein, that I tend to be more patient with Willie than most fans and most media members are watching his game. I still believe Willie Cauley-Stein is an essential piece to this Kings core going forward. However, he asked me if I believe that Harry Giles is and Marvin Bagley are the future at the bigs position. Harry Giles either being the 4 and Marvin Bagley being the 5, which seems to make most sense. And my answer to that is yes. I do believe that Harry Giles and Marvin Bagley are the future at that 4 and 5 spot. Now, that doesn't mean that the Kings won't go out and re-sign Willie Cauley-Stein to a 2, 3, 4-year deal if that would eventually translate into Willie Cauley-Stein getting a role off of the bench and getting minutes off the bench and being maybe that volume scorer and that rim runner and high pick-and-roll player off of the bench. But Harry Giles, this is what you need from him, and this is what the Kings are hoping he will provide consistently on a nightly basis, is what we saw against the Portland Trail Blazers. Now, in my opinion, there's two reasons why he didn't play to close out the game. The number one reason is Harry Giles already played a 13-minute stretch. And when you're playing only limited minutes, limited spurts, I know he goes hard in practice. I know he's been working on his conditioning, but it's very difficult to play a long stretch in the NBA. You see Dave Jaeger not even playing De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield longer than 13, 14-minute stretches at times because with the pace of the Kings play, they'll tire themselves out. Now, I'm not saying that Harry Giles was tired. I don't know. And if I asked Harry Giles, I guarantee you'd tell I know he'd say, I could have kept going. I would have wanted to finish out that game because he's a competitor, and everybody is a competitor, and everybody on that Kings bench wants to be in crunch time. Do I think it was potentially a mistake by head coach Dave Joerger to not put Harry Giles back into the game, maybe for overtime or in the closing minutes when things still weren't going well with Willie Cauley-Stein in the game and the Blazers started to charge back? Yes, I can understand, and I will listen to that conversation. What I won't listen to is the negativity and the anti-Joerger talk, which unfortunately you get after every Kings loss by a select group on social media or at Sports 1140 KHDK or regardless. But my other reason for why I don't believe Harry Giles was on the floor and why I'm okay for the most part with Dave Joerger sticking with his starters and sticking with that unit that lost the game is because that very same unit a number of times already this season has closed those games out and has won those games. The Kings needed a big bucket late or team started to make a push, and it was usually a Buddy Hield or De'Aaron Fox jumper that would put the Kings back on top, put them back in control. That young Kings starting unit has won a lot of those close games already this season. That's one of the reasons why they have 19 wins at this point. That's one of the reasons why they've made such a great jump. Now, the Kings have, I believe, are 12-1, if I'm not mistaken, when leading at the start of the fourth quarter. A lot of that has to do with how well the starters play and their ability to close out games. So the majority of the time, that unit, at least so far this season, that substituted in, regardless of the fact that Willie Cauley-Stein was not having a good game against Jusuf Nurkić, the majority of the time, at least this season, that unit has been closing out and winning those games. So I'm okay with Dave Joerger doing that and leaning on that. But again, I believe Harry Giles is the future of this Kings team. I think he is going to be. I like the fact that Joerger played the majority of his minutes at the four, and I don't think it's coincidence that he looked the most comfortable on both sides of the floor. Defensively, he stayed out of foul trouble, which was fantastic. And offensively, he had a presence both on the block and in the high pick and roll. It's what you want to see. I hope that translates to more minutes and more opportunity tonight because the big man play in tonight's game is going to be key. We'll talk about that in the next segment as we dive in and take a really big look at this Denver Nuggets team, what has made them so good this season, and why I think they are the perfect model for what the Sacramento Kings should try and replicate and follow in a rebuild in the 2018-2019 NBA season. Where do I even start with this Denver Nuggets squad? I am so proud of what they're doing. I have no affiliation with Denver, no ties to them, never been a fan of the Denver Nuggets. The only rooting interest that I've ever had in that Nuggets squad is head coach Mike Malone. Now, you know my thoughts and my feelings on Mike Malone, but in case you don't, in case you're new to the podcast, I think firing Mike Malone by that Kings, by this Kings organization and by that old Sacramento Kings front office that was led by Pete D'Alessandro was one of the worst moves in the history of this franchise. Now, that's not to say that I'm not happy that Dave Joerger is here. I think Dave Joerger is a phenomenal coach. I think he deserves massive amounts, if not all of the credit, for this Kings turnaround in just one summer. And I like what Dave Joerger is doing with his squad. I think he is the right coach for this Kings team. But you saw what Mike Malone was doing. He had gotten through to DeMarcus Cousins. The Kings had gotten off to a great start. And clearly the organization panicked. Why? Because they didn't see Mike Malone as a long-term option because they had their eyes on bigger fish, bigger prizes, bigger names. They were more interested in the publicity coach than the actual good head coach. And Mike Malone was fired from Sacramento. Nobody was surprised when he got hired pretty quickly thereafter by the Denver Nuggets. And they started out bad. He once again took over a young team with a young big man and young pieces, young guards, and he had to build them and teach them from the ground up. Now, what does Mike Malone preach first and foremost with his teams? It's defense, defense, defense. And that's what this Denver Nuggets team does so well. They're not a team that's going to really go out and try to blow you out of the water and outscore you like the Kings try to do or like the Houston Rockets try to do. What's crazy is that this Denver Nuggets team in the 2018-2019 NBA season that is all about scoring points and is all about offense, Denver Nuggets are the number one team in the clear number one conference, which is the Western Conference, and they only average 110 points per game. Now, 110 points per game is a lot, but that's only 18th in the NBA. But where do they win their games? It's defensively. They only give up 104.8 points per game, which is one of the top three in all of the NBA. Their points differential is 5.8. They average 5.8 points more than their opponents on a nightly base. I'm sorry, 5.3, not 5.8. My mistake. 5.3 points per game. Still a very impressive number. They score 5.3 points more than their opponents per contest, which I think is extremely impressive. To put that into perspective, the Kings average 115 points per game. That's fifth in the NBA in scoring, but they give up 116 points for a points differential of negative 1.7. So the fact that a 5.3 point differential by this Denver Nuggets squad is very good and very deadly. And one of the things that Mike Malone has always preached, and is one of my favorite philosophies and something that was fun to track as a fan and as a follower and a reporter for the Sacramento Kings squad when he was here in town, is he always talked about fourth quarters in general, but quarters in general, holding teams under 30 points. And then he also had what was called the 25-point quarter, where he would like to hold, he would challenge his team at the start of a quarter, hold your opponents to 25 points or less in this quarter, and I guarantee you we'll win this game. And he did that a lot, and his teammates, his players responded to it. And I think that's absolutely something that he has brought to this Denver Nuggets squad, and it's just been working for them in so many ways. And you look at the perfect team for what he is trying to do, what Mike Malone is trying to do. You have a good, solid young guard in Jamal Murray, who is the leading scorer for this team at 18.3 points per game, but he's not even the star of this team. Now, he's a great three-point shooter. He's also gotten a lot better as a distributor and a passer and a ball handler overall. He is the point guard and the leader of this team in that right. But, of course, we all know about the big man, Nikola Jokic. He is the centerpiece of this Nuggets squad, and he does everything well, and I literally mean everything well. He averages 18 points per game. He leads the team in rebounds with 9.9 per game. He leads the team in assists with 7.6 per game. He leads the team in steals with 1.5 per game, and he also averages a little over a block per game as well. Everything on both ends of the floor runs through Nikola Jokic. Sound familiar? It's exactly what the Kings did when Mike Malone was the head coach, with DeMarcus Cousins as the centerpiece, as the big man. In the modern NBA, in a guard-centered NBA league, Mike Malone has managed to build the best team in the Western Conference around a slow, white, European big man. Now, I'm using air quotes for all of that because that's what the labels are sometimes for bigs in today's NBA. But Jokic is such a fun player to watch, and he's going to be a monster against the Sacramento Kings if they don't get solid production from their bigs. That then goes to Willie Cauley-Stein. I understand fan frustration with him 100%. I thought on opening night and in every matchup between the Kings and the Jazz this year that Rudy Gobert was absolutely going to bully Willie Cauley-Stein, and I think Willie Cauley-Stein has played the best against Rudy Gobert than any other center in the NBA so far this season. I would love to see Willie have the same approach to this game here tonight that he does every time he's played Rudy Gobert so far this season, which is attack-minded on the offensive side of the floor and just being a pest on the defensive side. We know Willie Cauley-Stein is not going to get a lot of steals and is not going to get a lot of blocks, but hopefully he can pull down defensive rebounds. He can box out and keep Jokic away from the paint and away from offensive rebound opportunities. And then when Jokic does get the ball in the post, and he's going to get the ball in the post a lot, whether it's the low post or the high post, because that's who they run their offense through, I hope Willie is up for the challenge to at least keep a body in between Jokic and the basket. And if he needs to call for help from his guards need to deliver. That's De'Aaron Fox, that's Buddy Hield, that's Bogdan Bogdanovic, that's Iman Shumpert. If Jokic has position on Willie Cauley-Stein, and Jokic is a much bigger guy and is going to get position at times against Willie Cauley-Stein, if he has him pinned down on the block or under the basket, it is up to the guards to help him out. Now, I'm not giving Willie Cauley-Stein, that's not a scapegoat for Willie Cauley-Stein or a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's still up to Willie to make Jokic's life a living hell and make things as difficult as possible. I can promise you this, if the Kings, now this Denver Nuggets team is deep. I'm not just saying they only go where Jokic takes them. But if the Kings and Willie Cauley-Stein can make Jokic struggle, make his life difficult tonight, I think the Kings can win this game. If Jokic does what Yusuf Nurkic did, if Jokic does and has the freedom that DeAndre Jordan had or that Steven Adams had with the Oklahoma City Thunder against the Kings a couple of weeks ago, if he has that tonight in the Golden 1 Center, the Kings are going to get blown out by 20-plus points. That's how good this team is. That's how important Jokic is to the success of this Denver Nuggets squad. Now, remember, they also have Paul Millsap, too, and Millsap's done a much better job taking his game away from the basket. He does have that mid-range jumper. He does have that outside shot, but he's lethal in the post as well. This is a game where the Kings would kill to have Marvin Bagley. Unfortunately, they do not. Marvin Bagley still a couple weeks away from returning to basketball activities, although it was cool to see that he was throwing down dunks, and he said after practice yesterday that his knee felt good, that he was pain-free, and he was just working his way back. The Kings erring on the side of caution. They're not going to rush anything with their 19, now near 20-year-old number two overall pick. So unfortunately, you don't have him tonight. What does that mean? You need Kostas Koufos to step up. You need Harry Giles if he does play, and I hope he will play. You need him to step up and provide that same energy and hustle off of the bench. You're also going to need a big game from Nemanja Bjelica, not just offensively, but on the defensive end of the floor. Jokic and Millsap can take over this game by themselves, let alone Jamal Murray, let alone Will Barton, who actually is not playing tonight. He is officially listed as out, so that's a little bit of good news, as Barton is the third leading scorer on this team. He averages 16.5 points per game. He is the starting shooting guard and is a lights-out three-point shooter. So the Kings dodge the bullet in that sense. But the bigs for Denver are going to be the key. If the Kings can not completely shut them down, but handle them, make their lives difficult, and that's top to bottom. That's going to take a full unit effort. That's not all on Willie Cauley-Stein. That's not all on Nemanja Bjelica. That's not all on Koufos, and that's not all on Harry Giles. It's all four of them are going to have to give a collective effort tonight, especially defensively, if the Kings are going to have a shot at winning this game. I'm so excited to be able to watch this Denver Nuggets team live because I love watching Mike Malone's teams play. I think they play beautiful basketball, fundamentally sound basketball, and you can see the growth of what Denver has done from point A to point B to point C to where they are now. Every single year, it's been steady. It's been slow. Last year, they just barely missed the playoffs, but still you felt good about them. Now this year, they're the number one team in the Western Conference. It's one rung at a time. Now, this Kings team seems like they have skipped a rung or two from last season to this season, although there's still plenty of time to come crashing back down to earth. But if you're looking for a model to follow, don't just look at the Warriors as the ultimate end game. And now the Kings are doing some Warriors or some similar things to the Warriors with their development of the backcourt of De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield, and how they're really rising to the occasion and statistically are stepping up like a young Steph Curry and Klay Thompson had. So there's similarities there. But I would rather this Kings team follow the model of the Denver Nuggets, follow the model of Mike Malone. I think we're going to get a phenomenal coach battle tonight between Jaeger and Malone, who are two of the best in the league in drawing up plays out of timeouts in the half court. And if the Kings can also get out and run and transition in this game, push the tempo and make those bigs run, tire out Jokic, tire out Millsap, beat them up and down the floor, I think the Kings have a good chance to win this one. I think it should be an entertaining game. You're at home. You cannot get blown out. Just make it competitive. Be in the game. Please, God, as fun as it is to watch this cardiac Kings team come back from double digits down, don't allow yourself to fall down by double digits early against this team, because I can almost guarantee you with how good they are defensively, you're not going to get back in it. I could be proved wrong. This Kings team has risen from the grave many times before, but why put yourself in that position when you can step on the gas pedal from the get-go? Tire out bigs. That's how we've seen the Kings have success against all-star caliber bigs in the past this season. You need to do it again here tonight, especially in front of your home crowd. I'm not sure if you saw the videos, but it was all over Kings Twitter yesterday. Kosta Koufos and Buddy Hield played a game of one-on-one in practice, and I thought it was the coolest thing. Kosta Koufos ended up beating Buddy Hield, but all of the Sacramento Kings, all of their teammates were standing around the court cheering. They clearly were on Team Koufos. Buddy Hield seemed to be talking a little bit of smack, and they were talking smack back to him. Vlade was there. Peja was there. They're all having a good time, all laughing. They did that with the media in the building. You can see clips of the one-on-one battle from Sean Cunningham on News 10, from James Hamm, from Cowbell Kingdom. They were all there. But I encourage you to check out Kosta Koufos' YouTube channel. Kosta is a vlogger and does a great job with his YouTube channel, giving you behind the scenes looks at not just the Kings organization, but his life. Kosta has a lot of interests, and at some point in time, I need to lock him down to bring him on to the Locked On Kings podcast, because he is one of my favorite guys to talk to. We talk video games, we talk movies, we talk cars. He's got so many interests outside of the NBA, and he's such a fun guy to talk with. But anyway, he uploaded the full one-on-one battle to his YouTube channel. Very easy to find. Just type in Kosta Koufos on YouTube. You will find his channel. Be sure to subscribe to it and watch the one-on-one battle, not just for the game itself, because it's a big man backing down a guard, but just watch the camaraderie of this Kings team. Watch the players' involvement. Watch Vlade. Watch Peja. And just let it bring a smile to your face and enjoy it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was very lighthearted and exciting and happy. Very different to what's going on in Memphis right now. Did you see this story last night? The Memphis Grizzlies gave up a 13-0 run in the fourth quarter. They lost their third straight. They've lost 7 of their last 10. This one came at the hand of the Detroit Pistons. Now remember, the Grizzlies got off to an incredible start this year and have since hit a wall and have started coming back down to earth. In fact, they've come back down and they've crashed pretty hard. They're not out of it by any means in the Western Conference, but things are not going nearly as well as they were at the start of the season. Now, after this blown lead, the Memphis Grizzlies held a passionate players-only meeting, or team meeting, rather. It wasn't players-only, excuse me, because the coaches were there. And during this meeting, it was a lot of heat-of-the-moment stuff, according to a source inside. Now, this is all coming off of reports from ESPN from Shams with The Athletic. But essentially, former Sacramento Kings teammates and players Garrett Temple and Omri Caspi got into an altercation. It didn't say it came to blows or anything like that. I'm assuming they got into each other's face, yelled at each other, maybe some pushing and shoving going on, had to be pulled apart and spread apart. But the reason why I bring this story up, not just because they're two former Kings, but Omri Caspi and Garrett Temple are two of the nicest guys you will ever meet in the NBA. I've had conversations with both of them. I love both of them. I've always enjoyed speaking with both of them. They're very nice, great locker room personalities, great leaders, but they are just as susceptible to testosterone-filled frustration flare-ups and blow-ups and ego trips as anybody else in the NBA. So don't read that far into it. I thought it was a fun story, but I think it's just interesting how even the best, even the brightest role models and the people that look like the greatest teammates on the planet and the nicest guys that you can't get under their skin, even they can get frustrated at times. So just a little food for thought there. I thought that was fun. If you want to respond to anything that we talked about in today's podcast, if you want to share your thoughts and your preview for the Sacramento Kings and Denver Nuggets game, following the game itself, if you want to share your thoughts on the game and be a part of tomorrow's podcast, we'll come back tomorrow and break down this game and talk about the weekend's action against the Golden State Warriors. You can do that by calling our brand new Locked On Kings voicemail box, 909-566-0232. Call right now, call later, call at any time. Share your thoughts. Be sure to leave your name, and you can have a chance here to be on tomorrow's podcast and on future podcasts. You can also email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. Respond to me anytime on social media and on Twitter at MattGeorgeKHTK. So many ways to get a hold of me and to be in touch with me. And also, if you're heading to the Golden One Center tonight, go into the game tonight, let me know. Would love to meet you in person and come by and say hi. You can reach me on any of the outlets I just listed. If you have a second, it helps us out a lot if you can head to iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast, whether it's Spotify, Stitcher. If there is a place to leave a review of this podcast, please do that. And don't just give stars. Let us know what you like, what you don't like about the podcast. That helps us out. It helps us grow, helps us improve, and also helps others who are looking for a King-centric podcast to get a good idea of if this is the right show for them. I certainly hope it is. We work hard here on the Locked On Podcast Network to make sure our shows are geared towards not just the fan of the team itself, but the sports fan in general. Also, if you know Kings fans that are looking for a podcast, share through word of mouth. That helps out a lot as well. Enjoy the game here tonight. Hopefully the Kings can do good things against the number one team in the Western Conference. We'll come back tomorrow, break down this game, preview the Kings and Warriors over the weekend, and so much more. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast,
part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.